All right, Tabo, let's begin. We are picking up today, Mirtz Hashem. Today's daf is daf Chav Beis. We are picking up on Chav Beis, Amud Aleph, third line down. Otzitz. So we're going to speak a little bit more time about perforated flower pots. Otzitz, well, this is actually a really fascinating case. Otzitz shel echad, uzraim shel echad. So we'll say, listen to the following case. Let's say you have a situation like this. The flower pot belongs to one person. Otzitz belongs to one person. And the zraim, the seeds, belong to someone else. Two different owners. What happens? Machar bala otzitz lebal zraim. So we'll say, if the owner of the flower pot wants to sell his flower pot to the owner of the seeds, kevan shemashach kana. Once the owner of the seeds does meshicha on the flower pot, then ultimately he's acquired the flower pot. Now, I will say, now again, so that's actually not such a chiddush, because remember, again, the idea over here is the flower pot itself is considered to be metaltal, movable property. So movable property is, one of the ways movable property is acquired is through meshicha. Meshicha, excuse me, literally means you pull it towards you. You lift it up, you pull it towards you. So the idea, now, what the Gemara is expressing over here is something very interesting. As much as the contents of the flower pot are considered to be earth, are considered to be mechubar lekarka, because remember, it's perforated, so it's considered to be attached, it's considered to be earth, land. The flower pot itself is not considered to be land. Therefore, if you want to acquire the flower pot, you have to employ regular kinyanim for acquiring movable property, which is meshicha. On the other hand, machar bal zraim lebal atzitz, but yet again, if the owner of the seeds, which means the owner of the land, wanted to sell his interest, his property, his seeds, to the owner of the flower pot, lokana ad sheyachzik bezeroim, then ultimately he is not kone until literally he does a chazaka, some proprietary act with the zraim. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Ad sheyachzik bezeroim, atzitz havitalush, so as we said before, the flower pot ultimately is detached and therefore is considered to be movable property and therefore is acquired with meshicha. Zraim havi mechubarim. On the other hand, I will say what? The zraim, the seeds, are considered to be mechubar lekarka, right? Because remember, the flower pot is perforated and therefore they're mechubar. They're considered to be attached to the ground. Vedinon kikarka. And ultimately they have the status of land. Therefore, v'niknim b'kesef b'shtar u'b'chazaka. And therefore, they are acquired with kesef, shtar, and chazaka. Ad sheyachzik kagon d'nichesh o'idir d'havye chazaka. U'below, so Rabbi says, listen to this. So you hear this case? So now over here, you have the owner of the seeds wants to sell the seeds ultimately to the owner of the atzitz. So Rabbi says, so in order for the owner of the atzitz to acquire the seeds, he has to acquire it the same way that anyone acquires land. So how do you acquire land? Either kesef, shtar, and chazaka. Kesef means exchange of money, shtar means document, chazaka means you do something to demonstrate ownership over the land. Okay. So we'll say, fine. So far, no chidushim. We'll say, what happens if one person owns, so far, no chidushim. The owner of the atzitz wants to go ahead and sell the atzitz to the owner of the seeds. The owner of the seeds acquires the atzitz the same way one acquires all movable property, the meshicha, with lifting it up, pulling it towards him. On the other hand, if the owner of the seeds wants to sell to the owner of the atzitz, if he wants to acquire seeds, it's no different than acquiring any other form of karka, and therefore must use normative forms of acquisition, kesef, shtar, chazaka. Okay, next case. Atzitz uzraim shel echad u'machron la'acher. What happens if one person owns both the atzitz and the zraim? So we'll say in this case over here we'll call him Ruvain, owns both the atzitz and the zraim. He owns both the flower pot as well as the seeds inside. U'machron la'acher, and he wants to sell them now to another person. So Ruvain owns the atzitz and the contents of the atzitz, the earth inside, and he wants to go and sell it to Shimon. What happens? Hichzik bizraim kana atzitz. So we'll say, once he acquires the soil inside the atzitz, he automatically acquires the atzitz as well. Now, why? Listen to what I'll say. It's actually really interesting. Zoi sheshaninu nechasim she'in lahem achrayis, niknim im nechasim sheyesh lan achrayis, bekesef ubishtar ubechazaka. Because we'll say, we have a principle that literally nechasim she'in lan achrayis, which means movable property, are acquired together with real property with kesef shtar chazaka. Well, says you have a principle that says the following: that if you are acquiring real property, land, and inside that land, right, or part of that land, is some movable property. When you acquire the real property, you acquire the movable property on it also. So on a very simple level, if I'm buying a piece of land, and the person selling me the land is also selling me the lawn furniture that's on the land. So I'm buying a piece of property, and I'm also buying a patio set. So I will say, so when I acquire the land, I acquire the furniture that's on it as well. I don't have to do a separate kinyan on the movable property. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, although this case is a little bit different, the Gemara is suggesting that if Reuven, who owns the utzits and the dirt inside, sells all of that to Shimon, so when Shimon acquires the soil, the dirt inside, that's the karka, he acquires the utzits as well, since the utzits is part of the karka. The utzits is the movable property along with the karka. Good. Hechzik ba'utzits. But Rabbi says, if Shimon, the buyer, went ahead and did a chazoka, he went ahead and he did a proprietary act on the atzitz, let's say he did meshicha on the atzitz, af atzitz lokana ad sheyachzik bizran. Rabbi says, this is very interesting. He does not go ahead, I'm sorry, let me take that back. Hichzik ba'atzitz, if he performed some type of chazoka on the atzitz, right? Rabbi says, let's say again, now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi, hichzik ba'atzitz, below mashkoi, didn't do meshicha. Liknos ela asa ba'shum melacha bimkomo. So we'll say, this is the type of melacha on it. For example, let's say he wrote his name on the atzitz. He wrote his name on the atzitz. So we'll say, in that case, av atzitz lo kana, he didn't even acquire the atzitz. Why not? Because Rabbi, remember again, metaltalin, movable property, is not acquired bechazaka, and therefore only acquired b'meshicha. And therefore, the only way for him to acquire the atzitz is either through meshicha, or again, as we just said before, if he acquires the soil inside the atzitz. So when you acquire karka, you acquire anything attached to that karka as well. Okay. Absolutely nothing to do with Maseches Gittin, except for the fact that we mentioned atzitz, right? We mentioned, again, writing a get on the Cheresh atzitz, on the Olash atzitz yesterday. But now, once we open the door for atzitz, so watch this. So we'll say another fascinating case. Nikvo ba'aretz, but no fo b'chozer. As well, this is another great case. So let's say you have the following situation. Still on atzitz. Look at this. So over here, Rashi says, Nikva ba'aretz v'nof ha'b'chutzar, shaymunach ala gvul, v'nof ha'zraim, no tel atzitz chutz l'gvul. So we'll say, listen to the following case. You have an atzitz nuk of a perforated flower pot in sitting in Eretz Yisrael. So the soil itself in the flower pot, and it's perforated. So remember, once it's perforated halachically, it's as if it's attached to the ground. So here you have the following situation. The atzitz itself is situated in Eretz Yisrael, but the branch of the atzitz, that let's say bears the fruit, extends into chutz la'aretz. That's nikvo ba'aretz. Nikvo literally means the holes, the perforations are in Eretz Yisrael. Vinofo, and the branch with the fruit on it extends into chutz la'aretz. So I will say, you understand now what's going to be the shayla. The shayla is, what's the status of the fruit? Right? Do the fruit have Kiddush HaSaretz Yisrael? And if it has Kiddush HaSaretz Yisrael, again, remember, Truma, Smaisra, Shemitah, everything else, or not. So Rabbi says, Basar Nakvo Azlinon. So Rabbi says, we go after Basar Nakvo, literally, is we go after the hole, which means Rabbi says, we go after where the soil is. We don't care where the branch extends. What we're looking for, essentially, is where are the roots. Now, Rabbi says, remember again, the Chiddush in Otzitz Nakuv is, even though that soil is in a flower pot, but since the bottom is perforated, it's attached to the soil. Sabai says, we look at where the soil is, we look at where the roots are, and since the roots are in Eretz Yisrael, therefore what? This is Eretz Yisrael fruit. Rashi says, Basar Nikvo Azlinon Shemishamu Yone, because that's where it derives its nutrients, and therefore again, V'chayiv B'maiser. Sabai says, this is called Eretz Yisrael fruit, and therefore it's Chayiv B'maiser. Rava says, no, Basar nofo azlinon. And Rava says, no, not true. We look at the branch. Rashi says, Basar nofo azlinon, upatra min ha-maiser min ha-Torah b'chutz la'aretz. So Rava says, we look at where the branch is. The branch extends over chutz la'aretz, therefore it's chutz la'aretz fruit, and therefore it is exempt from maiser. Okay? So says the Gemara, it's fascinating. Really, it's a very interesting case. So the Gemara says like this, Bida ashrush. So Bida ashrush means, Bida ashrush means, let's say, literally, the roots from the flower pot began to actually grow into the ground. It's been sitting there for a while. The roots actually go into that. If the plant in the pot literally began to physically take root in Eretz Yisrael, kuli amalo pligi. Everybody agrees that what? That we go after the roots and we don't go after the branch. Ki pligi. So where do they argue? But the lashrush, both say the machlokas abai and rabbi, the Gemara wants to suggest, is only when the plant in the flower pot did not actually take root. Then Abaye says we go after the location of the soil, and Rava says we go after location of the branch. But if it took root, everyone agrees that Lamaisa we go after the location of the soil. So Gemara says, is that true? I'm sorry? We'll talk about that. Good. Bar Shekivanto. That's our next case. Ubid da Ashrush lo pligi. So Gemara says, is that true? That even if the plant took root in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, but the branch extended into Chutz La'aretz, that everyone agrees that we go after the soil. V'hotnan, but we learn, we'll listen to this case. Shtei gonos zu agav zu v'yerek ben sayim. So we'll say, this is very interesting. We'll say, you see this often in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they had this thing, they still have this thing called terraced farming. Terrace farming. So you know what it is, meaning this is amazing. If you want, you know, when often you think about a farm, say think about flat land. Well, what happens if you live in a region that's very mountainous? So how do you farm in a mountainous region? So essentially you terrace farm. What you do is, again, you build up each area of soil. But again, because so you do like one layer here. You know, somebody told me, by the way, on the Israel Miller said to me on the podcast, when I demonstrate things with my hands and I say it's like this, it doesn't help the people on the podcast very much. So all right. Well, I told them to watch the video. So the idea over here is, so you have one terrace over here, another terrace over here, and so on and so forth. So imagine the following case. So therefore, what that means is you have a higher field and a lower field. In between those two fields, essentially, is a wall. That wall could be stone. In this case over here, the wall is dirt. It's a compacted dirt wall. So listen to the following case. And coming out of that compacted wall is another growth, a vegetable, let's say. So he says over here, he says, Shtei gagol zu agav zu v'yerek bein sayim. So I'll say, I have two fields, one on top of the other. Rashi says over here, zu eitzel zu, v'karkoyis ha'achas gavo mechaverto, v'gidur shelo zokif, v'yerek bein sayim v'gidra gavo, d'achshav hu nishrash b'karko shel tachton. So imagine the following case. So you have, we'll call it upper field, lower field, with a compacted dirt wall. There's a vegetable plant that's growing out of the compacted wall. So what's the issue? The issue is it's growing in the soil of the upper field, but it's extending into the airspace, so to speak, of the lower field. So the obvious shaila is who does it belong to? Right? Who does it belong to? So says the Gemara, Meir Omer Shalyon. Rabbi Meir says it belongs to the upper field. Rabbi Huda says, Shaltachton. Rabbi Huda says, no, it belongs to the lower field. So we'll say, why is the Gemara bringing down this case? Because what do you see? This is a case where the item has taken root. And yet, what do you see? There's still a machlokas as to which field it belongs to. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam kidik tani taima. There is a different issue. There, the Gemara explicitly says what the reasoning of the machlokas is. Amrav Meir ma'im yerte al yon litol es afro in kanyerek. So Meir says, if the upper field wanted to remove its dirt, there would no longer be a vegetable plant, which tells us that therefore this vegetable plant belongs to the upper field. Amrav Yehuda says, well, one second. Ma'im yerte atachton lamalos es ginoso afar in kanyerek. On the other hand, Rabbi Huda says, if the lower field wanted to fill in its field with dirt, there would be no more vegetable either. So we'll say, so there, that's the nature of that machlokas. But that machlokas doesn't apply over here. Va'akati, and yet again, we'll still ask, b'dash l'bi, so we'll say, so therefore, what we're holding right now is the Gemara suggesting that the machlokas abayin and Rava, remember, machlokas abayin and Rava is, I have a atzitz nakuf sitting in Eretz Yisrael, but the branch extends into Chutz La'aretz. We want to know what's the status of the fruit on the branch that extends into Chutz La'aretz. Abayin says, we go after the base where the soil is in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, again, the fruits are Yisrael fruits. Rava says, no, we go after the branch. The Gemara is suggesting that both Abayi and Rava agree were the actual atzitz. If the roots from the atzitz grew into the ground of Eretz Yisrael, everybody agrees that it's an Eretz Yisrael plant. The Gemara is challenging that assumption. Is that true? Va'akati, b'da'ashosh lo plegi. Is that true? Where it takes root, everyone agrees that it's an Eretz Yisrael plant. Va'atanya. But we learned, ilan miktsaso ba'aretz u'miktsaso b'chutza la'aretz. We will say, if you have a tree, and part of it is in Eretz Yisrael, part of it is in Chutz La'aretz. I will say, now in this case over here, quite literally, part of the tree straddles the border of Eretz Yisrael. So part of it sits in Eretz Yisrael, part of it doesn't sit in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, what do we assume happens in that case? That means the roots, part of the roots are Eretz Yisrael roots, part of it are Chutz La'aretz roots. So what's the halacha? What's the status of the fruit of the tree? So the Gemara suggests, Tevel v'chulin mu'uravin ze baze. So the Gemara suggests that Tevel and Chulin are mixed in. That the fruits are a combination of Tevel and Chulin. Divrei Rebbe. These are the words of Rebbe. Now, we'll say, what does it mean if it's Tevel and Chulin mixed together? So we'll say, Rashi points out that if you look at Rashi, in lecha pri bi'ilan hazeh, shin mitzasso min ha'aretz, shu tevel, mitzasso mechutz la'aretz, shi chulin, lifi shayinika misarev, so nafkemino, shin ma'as min tevel vaday alov, davi min achiyu v'al apater, v'lo emena al tevel vaday. So we'll say, so what does this mean? These fruits are a mixture of tevel. Tevel means untithed produce, Eretz Yisrael produce, and chulin. Chulin means chutz la'aretz produce. So we'll say the nafkamina is, the practical difference of that is, it's difficult to tithe this kind of produce. We're not going to get into the technicalities of this, but the point that Rebbe is making over here is, the fruit is considered to be a mixture of the nourishment of its two sets of roots, and therefore every single fruit is a hybrid of chutz la'aretz and Eretz Yisrael. But the ramifications of it, again, as I said, is for tithing purposes. That what happens is, you can't go ahead and use this to tithe Vaday Eretz Yisrael fruit, and you also can't use Vaday Tevel to tithe this. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, HaGadol B'chiyuv Chayiv VaGadol B'Ptur Pater. Rabbi Shimon says, this is amazing. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, literally, what do? You look at the side of the tree in which the fruit grew. Right? Rav Shimon Gamliel says, the stuff that grows on the Eretz Yisrael side of the border, that's Eretz Yisrael fruit. The stuff that grows on the other side of the border, that's Chutz La'aretz fruit. So the Gemara says, my love, miktsas nofo be'aretz, u miktsas nofo be'chutz la'aretz. I will say, are we not dealing with a case where some of the branches are in Eretz Yisrael, and some of the branches are in Chutz La'aretz? And yet what? Now, the Gemara is suggesting over here that perhaps the case is like this, where all of the roots are in either Eretz Yisrael, or all of the roots are either in Chutz La'aretz. But yet, what the Gemara is focusing on, or Rav Shimon Gamliel is focusing on, is the location of the branches, to which the Gemara says, lo. The case over here is, as we originally thought, miktsas shrashin ba'aretz, u'miktsas shrashin b'chutz la'aretz. So both say, the case over here is, where some of the roots are in Eretz Yisrael, some of the roots are in Chutz La'aretz. So what's Reb Shimon Gamliel's logic? Where he says, again, so we'll say, if some of the root, meaning the assumption over here, Abba Osai, is if you have some of the roots in Eretz Yisrael and some of the roots in Chutz La'aretz, so how can you ignore the fact that each fruit is literally like a hybrid of nourishment from Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael? Why Reb Shimon Gamliel say, the stuff that grows in the Eretz Yisrael side is Eretz Yisrael fruit, the stuff that grows in the Chutz La'aretz side is Chutz La'aretz fruit? Well, it doesn't make sense. We'll say, listen to this. This is actually quite amazing. The mafsik tsunma. We'll say, what's the case over here? This is amazing. There's a rock that the tree, there's a rock that sits in between the roots of the tree, mamish like a mechitza, that serves as a barrier between the roots in Eretz Yisrael and the roots in Chutz La'aretz, right? Which means, again, Rav Shimon Gamliel sees this as a case where what? Where the maisa, again, there's a clear division between the Eretz Yisrael Dika roots and the Chutz La'aretz roots. Therefore, Rav Shimon Gamliel feels confident in saying that what? The fruit that grows on the Eretz Yisrael side of the tree, that's Eretz Yisrael fruit, and the fruit that grows on the Chutz La'aretz side of the tree, that's Chutz La'aretz fruit. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, my time at the Rebbe. So I will say, if that's the case, that literally there's a rock dividing the roots, so then what's Rebbe's logic? Rebbe's the one who said that, what, Rabbi Osai? Rebbe's the one who said that all of the fruits are a combination between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Each of them are Tevel and Chulin mixed together. Because Rebbe will say like this, Dahadri Arvi. Rebbe will say, that's very nice, even if there's a rock in between, in between the roots. We'll say once the nutrients get to the trunk, everything is mixed together. The idea over here is not the pshat in the tree that the nutrients from the roots go straight up to that side and this one goes straight up to that side. Once they're in the tree, ultimately, he says, the Hadji Arvi, the nutrients get mixed together. Therefore, it turns out that every fruit is really a combination of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz nourishment. So Gemara says, B'maikam Eflagi. So what's the fundamental machlokes in Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel? Mar Savar Aviram Bebalbel, or Mar Savar Hailuchudei, V'Hailuchudei. So I'll say, so what are they arguing about? So they're arguing about literally in, is it botany? Botany, right? They're arguing in botany, right? So one says again that when the nutrients get to the trunk, everything's mixed together. That's Shitas Rebbe. And therefore, again, every single fruit is considered to be a composite, the combination of Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael nourishment. And the other opinion says no, that everything just simply maintains its linear fashion, that everything goes up straight, and therefore the Chutz La'aretz roots nourish the Chutz La'aretz fruit on its side, the Eretz Yisrael roots nourish the Eretz Yisrael fruits on its side, and everything gets its own nourishment. So we'll say, just so again, this is where this sugya ends. We're not finished, we'll come back to this next video. I'll just share with you two interesting pieces of Halacha L'maisa. So the Rambam writes, this is in Hilchos Trumos, Perek Aleph Halacha Chav Hei, Otzitz Nakuv, Shahaya Bozera Shelo Hishrish. It will say, if you have an Otzitz Nakuv, a perforated flower pot, that has in it a plant that did not yet take root in the soil, Vahaya Ikalo Be'eretz, Benofo Chutz La'aretz. So it will say, listen to this case. So what happens? Perforated flower pot, the flower pot sits in Eretz Yisrael, but the branch extends into Chutz La'aretz. What's the status of the fruit? Listen to the Rambam Paskins. Holchim Achar Hanof. The Rambam says that we go after the location of the branch. Wherever the branch is, that determines the status of the fruit. Now, I will say, to be very clear, the Rambam is talking about what kind of case? The Rambam is talking about a case of Bishalo Hishrish. It did not take root. If it took root in Eretz Yisrael, then Ayinachinami, the Rambam would paskin that the fruit is considered to be Eretz Yisrael fruit. But if it did not take root, even though it's sitting on top of the soil, we go the identity of the fruit is determined by the location of the branch. We'll say another halacha, same perek, Hilchos Truma, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chav Dalid. What about the case of the Ilan? So the case of the tree, Ilan she'omid b'chutz la'aretz v'nofo notel la'aretz, o omid b'aretz v'nofo notel l'chutz la'aretz, hakol holich achar ha'ikr. So we'll say again, that's why the Rambam says it explicitly. If you have a tree that's standing in Eretz Yisrael, but the branch extends into Chutz La'aretz, then what do we look for? What determines the nature of the fruit? Location of the trunk. Roots. That's what we're looking for. Where are your roots? So wherever your roots are, that will determine the identity of the peros. So in this case, Eretz Yisrael tree, ultimately the branch extends Chutz La'aretz, fruits are going to see the Eretz Yisrael fruits. On the other hand, what about our case that we just dealt with? Hayu miktas shrashav. Say if some of the roots were in Chutz La'aretz, some of the roots were in Eretz Yisrael, in that case, I will say, even if he says there's a rock, he used the case of Tsunma, there's a sela separating the two sets of roots, we paskin like Rebbe, that the fruits are considered to be, again, a combination of Tevel and Chulin. It's a combination of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, nourishment and nutrients. So again, Saloch L'maisa, again, if the roots are solely Eretz Yisrael, then it's an Eretz Yisrael fruit. If the roots are split, then it's a mixture. Otzitz Nakuv that did not take root. The identity of the fruit is determined by the location of the branch. Good. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Meseir Omer. So both remember again, the Mishnah quoted that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, you can't write a get on niyar, on an erased piece of parchment, or on diftra. So the Gemara is going to talk a little bit now about parchment. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beseira Omer, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barasi, Mishmid Ula, Gimel Orosin. We're both saying we're going to get a crash course in parchments. So there are three different types of skins upon which you can go ahead and write. Matzah, Chifa, v'diftra. Okay, these are the three types. Let's describe them. Matzah, ki demashmo. So it's the first type of we'll call it, I'm going to use the word parchment for all of them, just for illustrative purposes, but you understand it's not literal. So the first type of parchment is matzah. So matzah, the name says it all. Delo maliach, it's not salted. the way they used to go ahead and prepare hide skins to be able to go ahead and turn it into parchment is you have to salt it. So matzah parchment is not salted. The lo kamiach, after they would salt it, they would treat it with flour. So it wasn't treated with flour. Udalo ofitz. And of course, again, you can't have a day of daf yomi without gulnut juice. Right? So what happens? And it wasn't treated with gulnut juice. So what's the now you understand why is it called matzah? Why is it called matzah? Because the pashit has no additives. Right? So that's the first type of parchment. Not salted, not treated with flour, no gulnut juice. Lemai hilchasa. So what lemai hilchasa means. Now remember, we're going to see that as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, actually we're going to see that Chazal gave a shear, so to speak, for Matzah. What's the point of the shear? Lo Tzas Shabbos. So let's go back a little bit. We know that for Hilchos Shabbos, in order for you to be chayiv for violation of Malacha, you must have engaged in a meaningful act. A meaningful act, by definition, requires a shear, that you have to go out and do something meaningful. So for example, we saw, let's say by Ksiva, in order to violate the biblical prohibition of writing on Shabbos, what do you have to do? We just had this last week.
Two letters.
So what happens if I write one letter? So it's Asr Midrabanan, but not Midrash. That's to be meaningful. We see this all the time in Halach. So what's the same thing with carrying? If let's say I'm going to violate the Malach of Hotzav, carrying on Shabbos, I only violate that if I carry a meaningful shear. Now, meaningful is relative to the item that I am, to the object that I am carrying. So, for example, the Gemara says, there's a shear for matzah. I don't mean for Pesach, I mean for Hilchos Shabbos. The shear for matzah, how much matzah parchment do you have to carry in order to be chayiv on Shabbos? V'kama shiur kidisnan, or kidei la'asos kimiya. Both say you have to carry enough. I'm sorry, I skipped. Arabai ki riva de riva. No. Vekama shiur ki diktani Rav Shlomo Yehuda kedei latzar mishkal kitana. The amount of matzah parchment that you're chayiv carrying on Shabbos is the amount that it would take to wrap up a small coin. Vekama, and how much is that? Arabai ki riva de riva de pumbadisa, like 1/4 of 1/4, which is a weight measure in pumbadisa. Fine. Chifa. The next type of parchment is chifa. So what's chifa parchment? Dimaliach udalo kamiach. So first of all, again, it's salted, but it's not treated with flour. Udalo ofitz, and it's not treated with gulnut juice. Lemay hilchasa. So both say, so why did Chazal give a shear for this? Lehotza Shabbos. So tell me how much I have to carry in order to be chayav on Shabbos. V'kama shiura, and what is the shear? What is the shear ultimately, again, for Hilchos Shabbos? Kidisnan or kidei la'asos kamiach. Enough chifa parchment in order to be able to make an amulet. Okay, diftera. So we'll say the third type of parchment is diftera parchment. What's the nature of diftera parchment? Dimaliach vekamiach. It is salted and it's treated with flour. Velo ofitz. But it's not treated with gulnut juice. Lemay hilchasa. For what part? Meaning again, what's the So what's the nature of the shear? Lotzah Shabbos v'kamashira. What's the shear of carrying diftra on Shabbos? Kadei lichtov alav es haget. Oh, the Rabbos say when it comes to diftra, if you're carrying for Hilchos Shabbos, enough to go ahead and write a get on it. Fine. So if you look at Rashi says lichtov alav es haget ki rabbanan demachshiri. So I said it's interesting. Remember, this goes according to the rabbanan who hold that you could write a get on diftera, because remember again, Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah Paskin, that you cannot write a get on diftera. Fine. Ve'chacham mashir. So we'll say the Mishnah said that the Chachamim said that you can write a get on an erased piece of paper, on an erased piece of parchment, and furthermore, you can also write a get on diftera. So says the Gemara, man Chachamim, who are the Chachamim who say, so again, remember, when the Mishnah recorded this fundamental machlokis, Rabbi Huda says, you can't use diftera, and you can't use an erased piece of parchment, but the Chachamim say you can. So the Gemara says, who are the Chachamim? And why is it that they hold that you could even use erased parchment and diftera for writing a get? Amar Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar he. Rabbi Elazar says, this is going to be a little bit confusing. There is Rabbi Elazar the Amora, and Rabbi Elazar the Tana. Rabbi Elazar the Amora is saying, who is the opinion of the Chachamim in the Mishnah who hold that you can even write a get on an erased piece of parchment or on diftera It's Rabbi Elazar the Tana, the Amar Eidim Misira Karsi, because he holds Eidim Misira. Remember again, it's the witnesses who give the get, who create the effectiveness of the get. Rabbi, take a look at Rashi. Rabbi Elazar, he the Amar Chasima Saget Eina Minat Torah, below Sagi LeMisvei below Eidim Misira. Rabbi, listen to this. Remember, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that what? That who creates the effectiveness of the get? It is the witnesses who actually witness the delivery of the get. According to Rabbi Elazar, you don't really need witnesses to sign on the get. We only do that. We're going to see him Tikkun HaOlam just for the benefit of the woman. But at the end of the day, really the get is affected. Remember, Rabbi Elazar, in this model, the writing of the get has to be Lishma. The giving over of the get has to be done in front of witnesses. And those witnesses who witness the giving over of the get, they are the ones who really create the effectiveness of the get. So Rabbi Elazar says, "Damar chasimas amini Rashi. Damar chasimas gemin atorah v'lo sagi l'mesei v'lo edim esira de'inhu da'av dikrisus da'karchach bo'inar edim k'di afinon erva davar davar mimamon v'hilchach lo chayshina l'dilma mezalfei." Let me just read a few more lines and I'll explain this. "Da'ha amran tzrichi l'mikre v'hava beitina inhu yadei." Listen to this. Let me tell you this outside. So Rabbi say, what's the issue? Why did Rabbi Huda and the Mishnah say that you can't use an erased piece of parchment? Or you can't go ahead and use diftara? Because what's the concern? The concern is that you could forge the document. Right? Let's say there was a... where does this come up most? This comes up most in the following situation. Let's say the husband attached a tonight to the get. He attached a condition. The woman doesn't like the condition. So what could she do? If the get's written on an erased piece of parchment, or it's written on diftar, what could she do? She could somehow erase the tanai. So the Gemara says, and yet, if you're Rabbi Elazar, you're not choshesh for that. Why not? Because it was since the get has to be given over in front of witnesses, and the witnesses are going to read the get, they're going to remember if what? If there was a tanai in the get. And therefore, afterwards, she tampers with the document, the witnesses ultimately will remember that there was a tanai, and therefore again they'll call her out on her tampering of the document. That's Shitas Rebbe Elazar. Therefore again Rebbe Elazar says, you can write again on Diftara, you can write again on the Yar Mochuk, because at the end of the day, the Eide Mesira will remember that if there was any tanai attached to the document itself. So the Gemara says, well, one second. Rebbe Elazar, now that's placing a huge burden on the Eidim Misira, that they are going to remember the details of the document. Therefore, Rebbe Elazar says, lo hichshir Rebbe Elazar ela la'altar. See, Rebbe Elazar only agrees, Rebbe Elazar, now this is again, this is Rabbi Elazar the Amora, says, lo hichshir Rebbe Elazar ela la'altar, that Rebbe Elazar only holds that such a get written on diftara are written on Niyar Mahok is only mutter immediately. But what does it mean immediately? Look at Rashi. El la'alter, shevi aso la'bezdin b'yom shenim sarla. Only if she brings the document to Bezdin on the day that it was given to her, lahodia she gerusha, to tell Bezdin that she is divorced, v'yatiruha linase, they'll permit her to get remarried, t'chevan da'idna hava, ube'edei misira, lo chayshe l'ziyufa. So Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, is saying that Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, only allows for a get to be written on Niyar Machok or Diftara only if there's an immediacy. If that get is surfacing on based in that same day, then we could say the Eidei Misira will remember if there was a Tanai in that get or not. Ava mikana da sar yomim lo, chayshina ndoma hava beitina oziyafte. But Rabbi Elazar, if she doesn't show up until 10 days later after she received the get, and now she's showing up in Beis Din, the Rebbe said, we will not be machshir, we will not validate a get written on a Niyar Mochuk or on Diftara. Why? Because there's a concern that she forged it. Why don't we just call in the Eidei Misira and just ask them, was it Tanai in this get or not? And what's the concern, Rebbe Osai? The concern is, they forgot. Meaning, again, how long do you expect them to remember what was written in the document? There's a lot that's going on. So if she's showing up the same day in Beis Din, well, so this is actually very interesting as well, because this is one thing we haven't spoken about, which we will get to in greater detail later, which is what exactly is the process for the giving of the get? How is a get given? One of the things that is clear is that a woman, once she receives her get, will take that get to Beis Din, so to speak, to register it. Meaning that Beis Din should know that she is divorced, and therefore, again, that's important for Beis Din to know that they are kol. A voice, a rumor, not a voice, but a shmua, news goes out that she's a divorcee. It's very important, altar so that she can get remarried. So the Gemara says like this. If she's showing up with Beis Din, Rebbe Elazar the Amora is saying, if she shows up in Beis Din immediately after receiving that get, and that get is written on an erased piece of parchment or on diftara, which already raises eyebrows because it leaves room open for forging the document, Beis Din says it's okay because we could call him the Edei Mesira and we can ask them, you see this document? Is this the same document you saw given over? Is there anything missing? Has it been tampered with? And if it's immediately after they witnessed it, we could assume they still remember what was written in the get. But if you're calling them in 10 days later, then the Maisa, again, we can't validate a get written on Diftara or on the Yarmachuk because there's a concern that it's been tampered with and the Edei Mesira will not remember it. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, not true. Afilu mikan adasar yamim. It's not true. Even if the get doesn't surface in Beis Din for another 10 days after it was given, it's still okay. Dim isa dahava beitina mid kardikiri. It's interesting about saying Rabbi Yochanan holds that the truth is witnesses will remember it tonight. It's not so common to have conditions in a get. And therefore, again, if there was a tanai in this get, the witnesses will absolutely remember it. And therefore, even if she's not coming to Beis Din for another 10 days, remember, she's already received her get. She's now coming to Beis Din to, so to speak, register it. So even if she's not coming for another 10 days later, Beis Din, when they see that get written on erased parchment or on diftara, which leaves room open for tampering with the document, they'll call in the Edei Mesira. And we believe with complete confidence that the Edei Mesira will remember the details of the get, and specifically will remember if there was a tanai or not. And Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar, Ella begin, Aval Bishar Shtar Slo. Furthermore, Rabbi Elazar holds that the only time that Rabbi Elazar the Amora says, that the only time Rabbi Elazar the Tana said that you could use diftera or niyar machak or erased parchment for documents is only by gittin. But you may not use this type of parchment for other documents. Because the pasuk says, "Unesatem b'klicheres lemanya amdu yomim rabim." Because the pasuk Rabbi Elazar in Yirmiyahu says that you shall take your documents, place them in earthenware vessels, in order that you will have them for a long time. The pasuk says, "What's the pshat? What's going on over here?" Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Ela begin de'in asuyin ela lahatira v'yachola lahavia lebezdin la'altar v'yatiruha v'shuv ein atzicha leget." This is actually very interesting. The Gemara says that technically speaking, a woman doesn't really need to hold on to her get. Why does she need to hold on to her get? Because all she really needs to do is come to Beis Din, register the get with Beis Din. There's an assumption that happens that once she comes to Beis Din, we'll say, what occurs? There's a kol. Kol means word gets out that she's divorced. Once word gets out from Beis Din that she's divorced, that's really the only affirmation of her status she needs. Technically speaking, she doesn't really even need to hold on to the get. Now again, it's a good idea for her to hold on to a get or some type of documentation, but technically speaking, she doesn't need to. Aval shtaros, look at Rashi, dekaimi legovaino, v'dimo lo mafik le'adzman oruch v'yishkach edi mesir esadavar, v'samchina edi chasima v'muzuyav ksava alim l'chosim edi om gomo. So also listen to this. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, says that Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, only allowed the use of erased parchment and diftara for gittin. Why? Because a get is not a document you have to hold on to long term. But other documents, like other shtaros, loan documents, all that, which could be long term documents, should not be written on forgeable paper. Should not be written on a type of document that can be tampered with. And he brings a raya from the pasuk. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi Yirmiyahu that when you go ahead, and I remember, let's say this is something else, God was telling Yirmiyahu HaNavi, you're going into exile. You're going into exile. So you better hold on to your paperwork for your ownership of land in Eretz Yisrael. Because this is when you come back, whenever it is, you'll be able to produce your documentation that says you own the land and no one could contest your ownership. So therefore, again, you see it's only by other documents that you have to use the type of paper that is not forgeable, that is able to hold on to for a long time. But with Gittin, because she doesn't really have to hold on to the document, you could even use Diftara and the Yarmuch. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Bishtaras. It's not true. You, according to Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, you could even use erased parchment and Diftara, even for other types of documents. I have a haksiv lemanyam du yamim rabim. But what do we do about the pasuk that says that you should have a document that's able to last for many days? Hasam Eitza Tova Kamash Malan. Rabbi say there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not giving Yirmiyahu a tzivu, he wasn't commanding him, but rather what? He was giving him good advice. So good advice is, keep your paperwork in order. So the sugya ends over here. Ultimately, again, we pass, the Rambam paskins, that halacha lemaisa, again, you could use diftira and the yar machok for a get, not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, but rather, again, halacha lemaisa, again, we pass like the chachamim in the Mishnah. Again, remember, the machlokis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Loz, about Eide Mesira versus Eide Chasima, is still a machlokis we have to look into. Let's just do a few minutes through the Mishnah, then we'll stop for today. Hakol kshir lichtov as haget. Everyone is kosher to write a get. Anyone can write a get. Afilu chiresh shota v'katan. Even a bosa chiresh, which means a deaf mute. Even a shota, which means someone who lacks mental capacity. And even a katan, a minor. Ha'isha koseves as gita. Further, Rabbi says an interesting case. A woman could write her own get. She could write her own get. Now we're going to discuss the get itself, meaning the parchment, the quill, the ink, has to belong to the husband. And the document itself has to belong to the husband. That's what Rashi points out over here. Rashi says, Koseves eskita, umaknas olabal, bechozer umosrol alagirushin. So we'll say, if she were to write the get, let's say again, she's pretty determined to get this divorce. So she says, I wrote up the get already. She would have to be maknas. She'd have to convey ownership of that document over to her husband, and then he could divorce her with it. Vahish kosev es shobro. Similarly, a man could write the receipt for ksuva payment. Rashi says over here, shovro, shovar piron ksuva, sha'ishehi lichtov l'mosro, lo lios l'rayer. Normally, again, a woman would be the one. The shovar is essentially the document that says that the ksuva has been paid. Normally, it would be the woman who would write that document. So the Mishnah is just giving the opposites. The same way that a woman could write the get, so too, again, the husband could write the shovar. Because the Mishnah ends, she'ein kiyum haget ela b'chosamav. We'll discuss this ending what the meaning of the statement is, because ultimately the kashrus, or the kiyum, the upholding of the get, is only established through the witnesses that sign on it. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with the Gemara tomorrow.